Next on BYUSN, BYU football continues to crush it in recruiting as the Cougars add Tiger and Bear Bockmeyer. Who are they and what do they bring to BYU? And with the addition of transfer quarterback Bear Bockmeyer, how do we feel about BYU's future at quarterback beyond 2025? Kalani Sitake breaks down some of the latest additions from the transfer portal and why he wants BYU to get back to being the quarterback factory that they were in the past. And Lexi Halliday-Lowry, a BYU women's track and field, joins the show to recap her record-breaking performances over the past few weeks.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, May 5th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a guy who will be hosting a belated Cinco de Mayo dance party later today, Jason Shepherd.
I don't know about the dance party, but there will be plenty of chips and salsa if you'd like to attend.
Now, listen, we know that everybody has their own unique way of celebrating this holiday. It just so happens to be an 80s dance party for you, does it not?
Well, of course. Look, my entire listening library includes mostly 80s music. As I found out that you also, we're close in age, so it's like, you know, we have similar tastes in
yes.
music. And
yes.
on our drive down to the St. George Fan Fest a couple of weeks ago, you had the 80s playlist rocking in the car, which was kind of fun.
You know that was for you, right?
I appreciate that.
I just wanted an invite to the party today.
You've got an open invite anytime.
Just show up.
Fair enough. You don't need an official invite.
All right. Does that go for everybody else?
Sure.
Great to have you with us on this Cinco de Mayo. Time to rise and shout and get to what's trending.
You know, there's a lot of things that we're looking for. They're not like your typical, you know, new players. Yeah, we want to throw more completions.
How about this? BYU got a commitment from a talented four-star quarterback. Wow.
Wow, indeed. What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake and his staff continue to crush the recruiting scene in the offseason. BYU announced the signings of brothers Bear and Tiger Bockmeyer, transfers from Stanford. Everybody wants and needs to know, Jason, who in the world are Bear and Tiger Bockmeyer? Why should BYU fans be excited about them? And what do they bring to the Cougar football program?
Okay, let's start with Bear. Let's give you the breakdown on who Bear Bockmeyer is. Four-star quarterback out of high school. He was the 28th ranked QB in the 2025 recruiting class, that according to 247 Sports. He enrolled at Stanford for the winter semester and practiced this spring. Freshman with 4 years of eligibility remaining, which is always good to hear, and then was heavily recruited by schools like Notre Dame, Alabama, Oregon, Michigan, and Georgia. So clearly highly coveted, and for BYU to be able to get him, knowing that you have Jake Retzlaff for this year, that is a massive, massive get.
Ooh, now all BYU needs is a lion to complete the Lions, Tigers, and Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, Chef, okay. Mm-hmm. Read into that how you will.
I think I will, as a matter of fact.
Tiger Bockmeyer, four-star wide receiver out of high school. As a freshman in 2023 at Stanford, he led the Pac-12 freshman in receptions, receiving yards, 36 catches for 409 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chase Roberts told us in St. George, we're going to be okay, even though Keelan Marion leaves. Keelan was a great weapon for us. We're going to be okay. We have a couple of guys that we're going to sign. You have to think he knew
yes.
about Tiger Bockmeyer and felt good about this. He also had, mind you, speaking of losing Keelan Marion, a 90-yard punt return touchdown in Stanford's season opener in 2024. So maybe he's the guy that shows up on special teams as well to complement Parker Kingston there. Not saying he's going to take Parker's punt return job or kick return job, but nice to have some options
Absolutely.
There as well.
Absolutely.
This dude graduated from Stanford in 2.5 years. How do you graduate from Stanford in 2.5 years? He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. The Bockmeyers are at BYU. Yeah.
Well, and I think the last part of what you just said about Tiger is what has me most excited. You can look at the numbers and you know what talent is there and what he adds. But the fact that he was able to graduate as early as he did and be able to maintain 2 full years of eligibility, that it's not a 1 year and then his eligibility is done. The fact that if he wants to be here for 2 years, he has the option to be able to stay that long. That's what I like about this. And you know as well as I do, if everything plays out like we would expect, Jake Retzlaff is your quarterback for the upcoming season, and then Bear Bachmeier will then be in line to go for that starting quarterback job. Tiger's going to want to play with his brother if that's the way this thing plays out. So you would expect that Tiger would be here for 2 years.
Jason, my love language in transfer portal recruiting is multiple years of eligibility. If we were speed portaling, speed dating in the portal, and someone says, all I got's 1 year, I'm probably moving on.
You're moving on to the next desk.
Nice to talk with you. I don't think this is going to work out. But if you have multiple years of eligibility, let's get to know each other a little bit.
By the way, that is a great idea. Do you think that there is
speed portaling?
Because let's be honest, that could work. I can actually see that happening because that's basically what you're doing.
Listen, there are many that are not looking for a long-term commitment. Oh, yes.
If you know right out of the gate this isn't going to work, just move on.
Let's go. Multiple years of eligibility. Now we're talking. I love that Tiger brings that. This is a very exciting time for BYU. And fittingly, on Saturday, we had an opportunity to talk to Kalani Sitake about this, right?
Yep.
Okay, at the Fan Fest, he talked specifically because I asked him, what's behind Jake Retzlaff and how do you feel about it? We know the guys, but how do you feel about it? And he answered about the future of the quarterback position.
We want to get this QB factory up and running again, you know, and it was doing well for so long, but we want to make sure that we make it super quality, and that means that we have to have the best guys there, and we have to retain our best guys too. So, and in a time where there's an open transfer portal, people can just go wherever they want. We want to be able to retain guys, and most of the guys that will want to stay at BYU are here for different reasons, other than the cash and the money.
All right, Bear Bachmeier in the quarterback room. Obviously, that is top of mind. Jason, how are you feeling about BYU's future at quarterback this season with Bear now in the fold?
The biggest question you have going into a year is who's going to be the starter, right? Well, that's not in question. We know Jake Retzlaff's going to be the starter. He's cemented himself in that role. So that part of the equation is already taken care of. The heavy lifting is done. Now you bring in a talent along with guys like McKay Hillstead and Treyson Borgay. You've got options here for those guys then to battle it out, and the guy that performs the best will get the opportunity to back up Jake. So it's a really good situation to be in. I like the way that the quarterback room is starting to develop, and you look at all these guys, all of these guys have different skill sets that I think all play into BYU's offensive scheme. And look, at the end of the day, it boils down to who gives BYU the best chance to win games if, heaven forbid, something were to happen to Jake Retzlaff and you needed the backup to play.
BYU needs depth now. And I know many of you are dialed into the high school recruiting scene and you're well aware of BYU's ambitious approach with a number of high-level players, notably a five-star quarterback that is out there and has interest in BYU. And BYU's on his list. We can't mention his name. But well, what does this do now for BYU's potential to go and get said five-star player? Look, if that guy doesn't want competition when he gets to BYU, he's in the wrong place. And I think he is a guy who embraces competition and believes he would win the starting job if and when he chose BYU. If that guy is going to avoid that, in my opinion, BYU doesn't want a guy that's not willing to show up and compete for the starting job. Like with the potential to not win it. We always talk about iron sharpening iron. We hear that often in the quarterback battle every fall. Yeah. Oh, it's just we're all making each other better. As cliche as it is, there is a lot of truth to that. So I am of the opinion that signing Bear Bachmeier is fantastic in all ways, shapes, and forms. It creates better competition. It will make everybody better, including potential high-level quarterbacks that could decide to join BYU. And we don't know of those guys, if and when they're going to serve missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or if they're going to be immediate, we don't know. Like, that's their decision. But I am very confident in saying that this should not hurt BYU's ability to lose a potential high-level commitment. It shouldn't. if that player is ready for the challenge and wants to show that that's all good, I'm going to show up and win the job anyway. You want that guy.
Yeah, you want that guy. You want the guy that's going to go out and battle for the position. Like, for me, look, and this is, I'm not speaking for A-Rod or anybody on the BYU coaching staff, but for me, bringing in a guy like Bear Bachmeier, knowing that he is going to be a freshman, this is more for 2026 and less about is he going to be the backup in 2025.
Yeah, give him time to develop.
Yes.
Right now, it feels like McKay Hillstead and Trayson Bourget, as they should, have a significant leg up.
Absolutely. They've been in this system already for a significant amount of time. You've got Bear that's coming in right before fall camp. So now, granted, he was smart enough to get into Stanford, so his ability to be able to pick things up quickly are probably at a high level.
Yes.
But to me, it's more about 2026 and being the possible starter for BYU in 2026 and less about can he earn the backup job to Jake Retzlaff this upcoming season.
This adds another layer of intrigue to BYU football training camp, getting ready for the season. The position battle for the backup quarterback spot specifically is going to be on fire.
Hey, like, and the backup quarterback spot's always the most popular guy.
Popular dude on campus, no doubt about it. Our question of the day is this. How do you feel about BYU's ability to get the quarterback factory, in the words of Kalani Sitake, up and running again? At Cougar Stats on X says, if BYU's last three starting quarterbacks all made NFL rosters, who's to say it isn't already back?
Okay, this is perfect, and I'm glad Cougar Stats said this because I was going to bring this up if we weren't going to read this one. I'm of the opinion that it is back. You've got two guys in the NFL right now. Now, obviously, Jaren Hall was just waived, but we're still talking about a guy that's been on NFL rosters, went from BYU to the NFL. Zach Wilson, in the NFL right now with the Miami Dolphins. You know what Jake Retzlaff has been able to do since coming in.
Keaton Slovis is on an NFL
and
practice
Slovis,
squad.
Yes, and Keaton Slovis is in the league. So I understand what Kalani's talking about, but BYU has been able to get high-level quarterbacks into the program. They've not only been able to produce, but they've also been able to produce at a level where NFL teams have been interested in having them on their rosters.
I think what Kalani is referencing is quarterbacks drafted.
Yes. No, I understand what he's saying, but I think you can also look at it and say, BYU's still getting the quarterbacks, though, that the NFL wants. Now, it may not necessarily be as a starting role or drafted, drafted in the first round or anything like that, but they're still ending up on NFL rosters. So again, I know what Kalani's talking about, but I think a case can be made that BYU's quarterback situation as it pertains to NFL status is still very, very good right now.
Isn't it interesting that you have back-to-back quarterbacks drafted, and because you've gone three seasons now without a quarterback drafted, BYU fans have been spoiled.
Right.
The staff, maybe Kalani's like, oh, man, we got to get that going again, which you love in your head coach. You want to be ambitious. Aaron Roderick has shown his track record of being able to find the guys, get them to the league, that there maybe is a feeling of, oh, it's slowed. It's slowed down. Like the factory, what do you call that? I'm trying to think of the word.
The assembly line?
Thank you. The assembly line has slowed. Like it has stopped. Like someone hit the stop button. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe it hasn't. We will see. But I think he's talking about drafted quarterbacks.
You know how I knew exactly what you were talking about? Because in my mind, I was seeing that poster.
Of Lavelle Edwards with the quarterbacks.
And they're on the assembly line.
Yes, thank you. Assembly line. At 86 WI Kugan X says, I don't think it is possible to bring back the factory that is associated with the mid-70s to early 90s under Lavelle Edwards. From Scheide, Nielsen, Wilson, McMahon, Young, Bosco, Detmer, you have seven drafted NFL quarterbacks. Today with the transfer portal, guys are not interested in sitting for 2 years. Yes, it is a totally different world that we live in. No doubt it's more difficult to do that. Is BYU ever going to produce multiple College Football Hall of Famers, back-to-back NFL draft picks, guys that finish in the top three in the Heisman Trophy? Probably not. That is so difficult to do. Never say never, but like that is so difficult to do. Yeah, but I do believe that BYU is capable of finding quarterbacks that can get drafted once every 3 years, Jason. I fully believe that BYU is that program, has the assets, has the backing, the support, and the culture with the right coaches in place to find a quarterback that BYU could have a quarterback drafted once every 3 years. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Oh, I don't think that's not crazy.
That doesn't mean we're going back to the Edwards quarterback factory of Hall of Famers and top three Heisman guys every year and Sammy Baugh Award winners. And like, come on. Like, that was magical. But BYU can take a big step in that direction. Let's move on. A little bit of basketball, as we call a timeout on football. John Rothstein reporting that UConn, hey, they're back again in the BYU Sports Nation headlines, is the third team added to the Jimmy V Classic along with BYU and Clemson. We were talking about BYU-UConn maybe in TD Garden. Mm-hmm. It turned out that didn't have much merit. But would you like to see a BYU-UConn matchup at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I think it would be fine. I mean, look, this season with BYU, and we already know with A.J. DeBonce and all the other guys coming in, BYU is already the hot ticket for these MTEs to be pulling in BYU to play in their tournaments. So to me it's less about who the opponent is and just the fact that BYU is going to be showcased the way they are. Certainly, if you have an opportunity in Madison Square Garden to take on a team like UConn,
are you kidding me? It's like a Big East challenge.
That's what and honestly, and it would be a home game for them essentially to be able to have a marquee matchup like that in a venue like MSG. Yeah, that would be unbelievable.
I'm not going to say no. Can you imagine the eyeballs on that game?
Oh, it'll be huge.
I know that Dan Hurley is a polarizing figure in college basketball. Frankly, I think he's great for college basketball. You need villains, Jason. You just do. And he's a winner. He's a winner. Say what you will about him. The dude wins games and recruits high-level talent to UConn. I am not condoning any certain behavior on or off the floor that he may or may not have done. But the guy, his players love him, and he loves his players. And if you're outside of his five or his circle, then, yeah, it's a tough road for you. But I would love the opportunity to face a team coached by him,
sure,
with his players, that whole dynamic. If you do it in Madison Square Garden, why not?
Well, you're talking about a team that's won back-to-back national championships in the last couple
of
years.
Come on, yes.
So, yeah. All right, let's switch gears again. This time to softball. How about this? Softball beat number 11 Texas Tech on Friday. So now that the regular season is done, the Big 12 tournament coming up this week, how do you feel about their chances, speaking of BYU, to make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2021?
First of all, it was really important that BYU won a game against Texas Tech, who are the Big 12 regular season champions. That was a notable RPI win. BYU's RPI right now is 46, according to the live RPI from WarrenNolan.com. We're going deep in the numbers for softball here. People say, well, what does that mean? 46 is on the bubble, but typically on the positive side of the bubble. If like you're mid-40s, you got a decent shot of making it. How does BYU maintain that? Because they'll take on Houston in the first round of the Big 12 tournament on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That is a must win. And then BYU will face, if they beat Houston, Iowa State. BYU won 2 of 3 from the Cyclones in Ames. If BYU's pitching is healthy enough, that has been the wild card for them this season, and they can get to the semifinals. If they can beat Houston and Iowa State, I think they're in, Jason. Win 2 games at the tournament as the 6th seed. I know you're like, well, wait, beat the 3 seed Iowa State, you're the 6th seed. BYU, I believe, is a better team than Iowa State. Like, how things shake out in the conference standings, it doesn't always directly indicate who is the best team. Teams have different schedules. They play different locations. Win 2 games, they're back in the tournament for the first time in 3 years. So I'd say 70% chance that BYU does that this week, as long as the pitching is okay.
Yeah, see, I think for the most part, they've done the heavy lifting. And I'm with you. Being able to maintain it, I actually think as long as they beat Houston in the first game and don't get upset in the first game, I think they've done it.
So
I think they've done enough that as long as they win the first game and at least advance to the next game, then I think they're in.
I just don't want to leave it up to the committee, because last year BYU was the first team out and they had just beaten a top 10 Oklahoma State team. They were peaking at the right time and the committee left them out with similar type numbers. BYU's non-conference strength of schedule, not great either. We know how much the committee hates a weak non-conference strength of schedule. So I hope you're right. I hope it only takes one, but then it's just a straight coin flip in my mind. If you beat Iowa State and get to the semis, BYU should be in the tournament and end a really frustrating hiatus for a fantastic
program. Yeah, for a program that's just not used to not being in the postseason.
Yes, yes.
It's what they've mostly done, certainly under Coach Eakins.
And now we just need BYU baseball to make the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
Just get in the tournament.
Hey, I think they're going to do it. And speaking of BYU baseball, back on the road, they'll be taking on Wichita State tomorrow. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern time on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
In case you missed it, we spoke with BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake at the Idaho Falls Fan Fest. You heard a short blurb from that. You'll hear the whole conversation next about BYU's recent transfer portal additions. And again, getting back into the quarterback factory conversation, this is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
The Cougs bring in a tight formation. Retzloff will go under center. It's Jack Kelly getting in. Five, drive, touchdown!
You'll get that natty. That Big 12 championship.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. Happy Cinco de Mayo. We've already referenced dance parties and speed dating on today's show. We're off to a great
start. Speed portaling.
Speed portaling, yes. Kalani Sitake has some swag in the speed portal conversation. He's bringing in some high-level recruits. We had a chance to talk with him at the Idaho Falls Fan Fest recently. On the topic of quarterbacks, general transfers, and the state of his program. We welcome in the BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake with us once again. Just before the show started, we were talking about the fact that we have recently, and by recently I mean in the last few weeks, been talking in Cabo San Lucas and Puerto Vallarta and Ensenada and Los Angeles and St. George, Utah, and now we're in Idaho Falls, Kalani. Are you sick of us yet?
No, I love it, and honestly, I was misinformed. I dressed like I thought it was going to be colder here. I wouldn't have thought that the Idaho Falls would be warmer than Provo right now, but it is. So just excited to be here. Anytime we can talk about BYU football and BYU sports all together, happy to do it, especially in this area. There's a lot of great people in this area and have a lot of friends from here. So looking forward to hanging out and mixing with this group.
And last week, you guys were down to St. George for the Fan Fest down there. You had the opportunity to stay and do a devotional. Mm-hmm. How did that go, and what was that opportunity like?
Thought it went well. I mean, I don't think anybody left the church because of my talk, so that's good. But, you know, just being able to talk about Christ and about the gospel and then to do it in different settings, and then have, more than anything, just have our players be able to share their thoughts and share their testimonies has been amazing to see. I know our fans appreciate it, but I appreciate it as head coach. I've learned from them quite a bit, and they lift me up in many ways and spiritually to have mentors and people I can learn from that I get to coach is amazing.
In the decade that you have been the head coach, what has been the most prominent change in the meld of faith and football that you have seen for BYU?
I don't think there's any reason why you need to separate the two. You know, I think you can be physical and be competitive and still be a great disciple of Christ. I don't think this isn't about perfection, but the goal is to try to get there. And so, and then what I like about athletics competition is that you're requiring yourself to be at your best self personally. And then when you can add that to a team concept, it's actually a beautiful thing. And you see a lot of really cool things happen from it. And I'm seeing a lot of service and charity work from our players. And it's keeping them humble. And that's what we got to keep rolling with, is that we got to stay humble, stay hungry. But there's a lot to accomplish and a lot of hard work to do it. But it doesn't have to be such a grind. It could be a lot of fun and fulfilling. And the fulfilling part is our fans and connecting with them.
You know, I know as you're out looking for recruits, you're looking for the right fit for exactly what you're talking about, the people that want that balance in their life, and that's who you're going after. This was a big week. You got three official signings, Justin Kirkland, defensive tackle. You got Reggie Frischneck, the wide receiver, and Spencer Need's nephew, Kian Need, a tight end. What will those guys add to the program first? And then secondly, are there any other positions you're looking at to strengthen going into next season as you continue with this recruiting process?
Yeah, I think we're always looking to strengthen the team. But that's the athletic part is going to take care of itself. It's more of the fit of the program and the culture. And the one thing that I do love about these three young men is that they're great fits in the locker room. They happen to play great football too, but and the talent, the potential is there to perform on the field. But who they are, I'm excited that they get to connect with our players. They're just like us, and so they're going to be around a team that are like-minded, you know, and they have I mean, you look at it like these guys represent exactly what BYU football should be, and so I'm glad they're in our program and in our family. And I mean, Ian's right from here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's great athletes all over the place, and I'm lucky I get to coach them and get to recruit them, those that get into the portal.
Coach, specifically, what will Justin Kirkland bring to the defensive line, which is a group where you had a lot of movement and some guys leave, and you had a significant need as far as depth goes?
Well, he's joining a group of really tough D linemen and well coached with Sione Poha and with, obviously with Jay Hill as a coordinator, and you get people like Chad Kahaha and Gary Anderson, and you mix that with the whole staff with Gennaro Guilford and Justin Anna and K-Pop. I mean, it's a dynamic group. But all you have to do is look at how big he is, and then you line him up next to the other D linemen, and you can see why we're trying to build a wall in front of Siale and Isaiah and Jack and all the linebackers that are there, Ace and Micah, and I mean, Miles. There's so many linebackers that can make a lot of plays. And from the inside and outside, we added some guys too. So the strength, I think there's a lot of strength in potential in the linebackers. These D linemen will keep the O-line away from them and let them do their deal.
You know, I talked to Spencer Need about his nephew, Kian Need, the tight end. And Spencer, for those who haven't watched for a long time, an All-American and a star with the Rams, blocking the way for Marshall Faulk on that Greatest Show on Turf team. He said about Kian, he's a good pass catcher, he says, but he'll put his hand in the dirt and he will beat people to a pulp and can really, really block. What will he add to this tight end group? Because I know you've needed some depth at tight end.
Well, I think that's the key. You look at him, he looks like Spencer. He's big, just like that, and he's a no-nonsense guy. But he's big, and he can run, and he has soft hands. That usually does well for tight ends and controlling the line of scrimmage for us, but then also being able to get on a route and catch a ball. So I think he'll be joining a great group of tight ends. You know, and honestly, A-Rod and Fessy and the group can use them in different ways. And Gilbride, they can find different ways to, with you guys were there seeing in spring. I think it just gives us more options to look at. But he does bring a good physical part of the game, which we are excited to welcome. And I mean, it's a really good group. And then you have, you know, Reggie, what he can do. Mm-hmm. He's extremely. I think you look at him, he's extremely gifted in finding the ball and coming down with it. And he has a lot of big play possibilities. That's what he did at Snow College. He just turns, a third of his catches into touchdowns.
BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake is on BYU Sports Nation live from the Idaho Falls Fan Fest. Coach, maybe you've heard or noticed that everybody has an opinion on social media these days. I know, super surprising, but also not shocking that with success, typically people are wanting to examine, like, well, why the significant turnaround for BYU? How are they able to do this so well? And then how are they getting all of these great players? There's something fishy going. What is your response to all of the rhetoric out there on why BYU football has been able to be so successful with the combination of NIL, the booster support, obviously team culture, and then the winning that comes along with it?
Well, I think I'm glad people are concerned in different ways, but I don't really check it out on social media, but a lot of people tell me about it, so it's usually a good sign when people are talking about you, you know. And so I'm not worried about it. I just know, I mean, why aren't people complaining about our signing class last year and who we brought in last year and the year before? I can say the move to the Big 12 has definitely helped us, and when we announced it, that was a good help. They gave us a little bump. But now that we're in it, and even after the first year, we found success in recruiting and bringing people from the portal. There's really not a lot of excuses why not to come to BYU anymore. I think everybody's trying to find them, and they're starting to realize that there's not very many to look at. And so maybe they're coming up or making up some. I have no idea. But the truth is, we're just going to keep doing what we do. I'm not focused on the end result or the wins and losses. I'm focused on the culture. And focus on the system that we have in place, the process that we have to go through, making sure our guys work hard, and then the results should work out in our favor. If we can play at our best, we can live with whatever the results will be. And I still think there's a lot of room to make up from last year. We didn't play our best last year, and that's my job. So we got to figure that out.
You always talk about bringing guys in and that BYU can be a springboard to get where they want to go. So that's certainly part of it. Since the last time we all talked, 9 different BYUs got professional opportunities between the NFL and the CFL. How important is that to the program for guys to succeed at the next level and to have opportunities?
Well, I think it's important. I think the main thing is for them to make a roster. So if they can make a roster, that'd be great. But in the NFL, it's timing. And you know, I anticipated more guys getting drafted and things like that. But I'm excited that guys are getting into a camp and that they were able to choose from the options that they had, which probably gives them a better idea of where they can go and make a team. And so I know that the goal is just to get into a camp and show, prove yourself and show it on the field. As our guys are good at being competitive and earning a spot. I've seen them, so I have a lot of confidence that a lot of those guys will make the squads. But, you know, the goal is to make sure that they're at their best and that they can perform well. But then when they leave here, that they do it with a lot of pride that they played at this program and that they were able to represent all these amazing fans and their families well and the church. And so we have a lot of people that are committed to that, and it's going to do well for them whether they're in the NFL or they're working in the business, or they're working in a law firm, or they're working in accounting, whatever it is, they're gonna represent really well.
Kalani, we'll finish with this. Everybody knows Jake Retzlaff is your clear starter, but a lot of questions are starting to surface. What does the head coach and the staff think about those behind Jake? Because, again, we know how depth is so critical for a college football team. So how are you feeling about things behind your clear starter, Jake?
Well, we want competition at every position, and so that it doesn't really matter. I know a lot of focus goes on quarterback, especially at BYU. You know this, Blaine. But,
yeah, oh yeah.
But the competition will make sure that you get the best guys playing. And I think the days of everybody's trying to position it out and say this guy should play when he becomes a junior or a sophomore, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, do it on the field. Perform on the field and then and develop and find ways to get better. And then we want to get this QB factory up and running again, you know. And it was doing well for so long, but we want to make sure that we make it super quality, and that means that we have to have the best guys there, and we have to retain our best guys too. So, and in a time where there's an open transfer portal, people can just go wherever they want. We want to be able to retain guys, and most of the guys that will want to stay at BYU are here for different reasons, other than the cash and the money.
Coach, always great to talk with you. We appreciate you once again enduring BYU Sports Nation and the two of us specifically. Exactly. Here today.
I love that you said that he's. Did you say muscular?
He said I was muscular.
Okay, that's.
And Kalani is.
But I'm not getting any compliments. So it's okay. I'll take hefty as a compliment. So this is Kalani Sitake, hefty signing out.
Signing out.
Love you guys. Go Cougs.
Love you, brother. Thank
the
you.
Head coach Kalani Sitake on BYU Sports Nation.
All right, if you missed any interviews from the BYU Fan Fest in Idaho Falls, you can find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel anytime on demand.
Hefty, hefty, hefty. That's exactly what I was thinking. The commercial, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
about.
That's right.
Up next, Yegor Demin's latest NBA draft projections and how he's preparing to move up. Plus, how did track and field do in the Robinson Invitational over the weekend? Headlines on the way on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Hope you're enjoying your Cinco de Mayo. Are you eating tacos today, by the way?
Why not? And you're buying, right?
Well, if you're inviting me to your dance party, why not? Let's get to today's headlines.
He's on record. You heard him. BYU football announced the signings of Bear and Tiger Bachmeier yesterday. Both brothers transferred to BYU from Stanford. Tiger is a junior wide receiver and return specialist. In his 2 seasons at Stanford, he totaled 877 yards of offense and had a 90-yard punt return touchdown in 24 games. Bear is a 4-star quarterback in the 2025 class. He enrolled at Stanford for spring classes before entering the portal. Bear was ranked as high as the number 28 quarterback in the 2025 class by 247 Sports.
Yegor Demin of BYU men's basketball, one of 75 prospects invited to the 2025 NBA Draft Combine. It runs from May 11th through the 18th and takes place in Chicago. Demin, a projected first-round pick, notably between 10 and 18, according to most draft experts.
John Rothstein reported that UConn will be the third team in the 2025 Jimmy V Classic in Madison Square Garden. Now, BYU and Clemson have already been reported to play in this four-team event. The official date of the games and which team BYU will play is still unknown.
BYU softball split the final two games of their three-game series against number 11 Texas Tech in the Big 12 regular season series finale. Cougars upset the Red Raiders 2-1 on Friday night, fell short on Saturday on senior night, losing 2-1 as well. Softball now heading to Oklahoma City as the sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament. They'll take on 11 seed Houston on Wednesday. If they win that, they get number 3 seed Iowa State.
BYU baseball dropped the final two games against Kansas State at Miller Park this weekend, losing 18-4 on Friday and 13-4 on Saturday. BYU 7-17 in Big 12 play and sits in 12th place in the standings. Now, only the top 12 teams make the Big 12 tournament. The Cougars are at Wichita State tomorrow and then face Kansas in Lawrence Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Some notable track and field highlights from the Robinson Invitational this weekend. Carter Cutting rocking the BYU Sports Nation Karma. Ran a 3:59 and 39 hundredths mile, becoming just the fifth runner ever to run a sub-4-minute mile in the state of Utah. Sammy Oblad broke her own school record in the 400 meters with a time of 50.49 seconds, fifth fastest time in the NCAA this season. Megan Hunter set a facility record in the 800 meters with a time of 2 minutes and 67 hundredths, third fastest time in program history. And Eli Haslett ran the second fastest 400 meters time in program history at 45.24 seconds.
Nine seed women's golf teed off this morning at the NCAA Regionals in Charlottesville, Virginia. BYU currently in sixth place overall, shooting 5 over par as a team. They are through 9 holes. Today's the first of 3 rounds stretching from today through Wednesday. Top 5 teams advance to the NCAA Championship.
That is the number. Top 5 advance. They're 6th place right now. Cougars in the major leagues. How about Daniel Schneeman? An historic performance on Saturday, hitting 2 home runs for the Guardians in a 5-3 win over the Blue Jays. He drove in all 5 runs with those homers. His second home run came with 2 outs in the top of the 9th. Final out. The Guardians were trailing 3-1. He hit a go-ahead grand slam, the first of his career. Attaboy, Schnee. And not to be outdone, Justin Sterner continues a ridiculous start to his season. Another scoreless inning for the Athletics. He has yet to give up a run in 16 and two-thirds innings pitched on the season. How about our Batcats?
What Justin Sterner is doing right now is so impressive. Not giving up a run in 16 and two-thirds, and Schneeman grand slam. Come on.
High level
Watching
stuff.
The highlight was High even level. Better to see his reaction.
Absolutely.
After the hit. Yeah.
Still on the way. BYU women's track and field star. Frankly, star might not be a luxurious enough word. She's more than that. Lexi Halliday-Lowry in studio to talk about her recent record-breaking accomplishments. This is BYUSN.
Hi, I'm Sam Payne, host of The Appleseed, where great stories can bring us together. And on the next hour of storytelling from BYU Radio, you'll hear a story with a title perfect for this time. It's called Tiny Acts of Kindness. It's a story by Donald Davis, the great storyteller. And you'll hear an audio adventure from Kaboom called Boss Fight. You won't want to miss either one. Join us right here or Google The Appleseed Podcast or download the BYU Radio app.
Sports Nation live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton, and across the way from us for her bi-monthly visit to the set because she's consistently breaking records is the great Lexi Halliday-Lowry of BYU Track and Field. Lexi, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure coming on.
Let's just go ahead and recap the last 3 weeks, shall we?
Let's do it.
I'm gonna consult my notes here so I don't miss anything because it's fast and furious. In the last 3 weeks, you have, Lexi, run the third fastest 5K in NCAA history, BYU record. Sixth fastest steeplechase in NCAA history, second in the BYU all-time marks, and fastest recorded mile time in the state of Utah ever. That's just the last 3 weeks. So how would you sum up the last 21 days in your athletic career?
It's great building blocks for the end of the season. I feel super grateful to have been able to get into some really nicely set up meets so that I had the opportunity to chase those times. And honestly, this past weekend was kind of a surprise. It was, we just, hopped in to add on to a workout, and it just ended up being a really fast time, and I crossed the finish line. I was like, that's pretty good. Like, I'm happy with that. But no, it's been really, really good. Just trying to have fun with it and just enjoy the time that I have with my teammates. And yeah, we're just now getting into championship season.
Wait, so to clarify, which race was not part of the original plan?
The mile.
That was not part of the plan.
And then you just run the fastest ever in the state?
I know, I kind of wish beforehand, because even afterwards, we had, like, someone had said that, oh, that was like a state record, and like Coach had no idea, I had no idea. It was just, yeah, a nice little cherry on top.
Yeah, add it to the list. Yes. The resume is like 47 items long, and that's another notch. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look, any athlete is going to do better when they're confident, and certainly you're competing with a lot of confidence. When you continually break these records or set these records, how much more confidence are you competing with right now? Is it through the roof right now?
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence right now. And even, okay, coming off of the steeplechase, it wasn't exactly the time that I was wanting. And I think I was chasing records too much and chasing times. And so after that race, I had to like kind of reframe just the whole season. I had a little chat with my coach, and I did need to get more perspective on it. Isn't about chasing records. It's not about setting facility. It's about the memories, obviously running fast times, but having fun with it. But yes, I do have a lot of confidence. I get a lot of confidence from running fast, but yeah, we're just trying to get into the end of the season.
I don't know how you stay humble, but you manage. It's very difficult when you are running at the level you are running at. Of all the things that you have accomplished, and this is a double-barreled question of sorts, as a team and as an individual, what are the two things you're most proud of, if you will, or most excited about? Team accomplishment and individual accomplishment. Everything that you've done.
Team, I have to say this past cross-country season, winning that title was so meaningful to me. And just like, I've been on the show, we chatted about it. That was a very meaningful win for us as a team.
Highly emotional.
Yes, very. Yeah. So that was definitely, that's like my greatest accomplishment for me being a part of the team.
Sure.
And then individually, I don't know. I feel like I'm still chasing it.
I love that answer. It hasn't happened yet, Spencer.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
So still chasing that. Yeah. Well, there's still a few weeks left.
Very cool.
Coming into this season, obviously knowing how it's gone so far, knowing what you want it to still be, what has this season meant to you?
This is my last season wearing the BYU singlet, and coming into it, even like ending the indoor season, knowing like that was the last indoor season that I'd wear the Y, and I'm super proud of how I performed, but like this is it. This is the last hurrah for the Y on my chest, and I feel so grateful for the time that I've had and for the time that I've had with my teammates and the women that I've had to chase these amazing dreams and goals with. But it means so much, and I can't really put it into words, but I'm ready for the next thing. But I'm also like, I've done a lot of reflecting on the past 5 years, and I know that like freshman Lexi would be so, so proud of fifth year Lexi. Mm. And it's just great to be able to end my BYU career chasing big dreams.
Well said. Great perspective as you talk in a way to freshman Lexi, because so much has transpired. As we push forward, when I say the words Summer Olympics 2028 Los Angeles, how do you feel about the prospect of being an Olympian for those Olympics?
Yeah, that's 3 years away. And I mean, I'm working on signing a professional contract. And yeah, I mean, from here until then, it will all be building towards making that team. And I feel like I will set myself up in a position to have every opportunity to. And I mean, that would be just a dream come true. And I hope that in 4 years, I can have version of Lexi can have a conversation about where I am now and just be like, and say how proud that I would be of that version.
How long has that been a dream for you? And when did you realize that dream for you was attainable?
Being an Olympian?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it is attainable for a lot of individuals, but to actually do it takes so a lot of people can be Olympians, but there is a little luck on the day. And so I don't want to, I'm not one. And I would obviously, since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be one. I thought it would be for soccer when I was really little. And then it has transformed into track. But yeah, that would be the ultimate goal. I mean, that's the pinnacle of our sport. Who doesn't want to be there? And I hope to one day be on that track. I have examples that I get to train with every day.
Wild.
Yes. Yeah. So it does make it feel more attainable. But like I said, it takes a lot of hard work. And that's still like, it's still 3 years away. So just, and there's a lot of amazing women in the USA. And I just want to be able to, at the trials, line up knowing that I have a shot. And I believe that I will.
I'm gathering you're referencing Whitney Orton Morgan and Courtney Waymont.
Yes.
Who are around the facility and train and are prominent figures and were just in the Olympics in Paris. But if you had to single out a race or two that you feel like you have the best chance to be an Olympian in, what would those events be?
Going forward, I will be focusing on the steeplechase, but I love the 5K. The past few months, I really fell in love with that event.
And you've crushed it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. I haven't always loved the 5K, but yeah, those two, well, just like I said, it's 3 years away, and there's a world's event this summer, and so just kind of building towards that, and just whatever I'm best at, yeah. So we'll see.
What BYU has done as a program for a long, long time in cross country and track and field is remarkable. When you look at this program moving forward, what do you think the future holds for this program?
Oh my gosh, it's insane. If you think I've done anything, just you wait. Like, I just talking with my teammates who still have 2-3 years. Tessa Buswell, she's a freshman. She just ran a 201 in the 800.
Wild.
That's insane.
That's wild.
That's insane. And even like Riley Chamberlain, Jenna, they got some good years ahead of them. And it's so cool to have been a part of their journeys for this point in time, and knowing that like they'll just continue to grow and achieve incredible things. And if you don't follow BYU track and field, you should follow BYU track and cross country, because there's still some big things coming.
No doubt about it. And your coach Diljit Taylor is always wants to be behind the scenes, but I know how you feel about her and how the team feels about her and what she has meant to the program. And with her and the athletes you just talked about, hard to argue with great things ahead for BYU.
Oh, 100%. You talk about having confidence. She 100% instills confidence in each and every one of us. She's a great woman. She's a great coach, and she's very passionate, and I thrive off of her intensity and love for the sport.
Love it. Thanks for hanging out with us, and good luck at the Big 12 Championships.
Yes, good luck.
In Lawrence, Kansas, May 15th through the 17th.
Thank you.
Take the BYU Sports Chase and Karma. Do your
yes,
thing.
Yes, we're giving you the karma. Thing.
I love it.
Okay.
All right, if you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
Listen, Lexi isn't the only person to have a historic performance over the weekend. We'll get into the details of that if you missed it the first go-around, and why Babe Ruth has now entered the conversation. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The great Bambino?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, how do you feel about BYU football's ability to get, in the words of Kalani Sitake, the quarterback factory up and running again? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Andrew Smith 94 on Instagram, who says, good. Name, image, likeness, and quote unquote tampering smileth upon BYU without ceasing. How did that get through the goalie? Oh, I love it.
It certainly was elite.
Oh boy.
Certainly was elite.
Today's Rising Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All right, we talked about this earlier. Daniel Schneeman's historic performance on Saturday, doing something that has only been done once before in Major League Baseball, and it was done by Babe Ruth.
What?
Second player in Major League Baseball history to have a multi-home run game on the road that included a game-winning grand slam. The other was Babe Ruth with Boston.
Not with the Yankees.
Not with the Yankees. With Boston. This was pre-curse.
Red Sox version of Babe Ruth. Yes. Amazing. Only the second player ever. Multi-home runs, grand slam in the second home run, down to the final out, and to do so on the road.
Yes.
That is elite company, my friend. Babe Ruth and Daniel Schneeman. They locked that down. That is like the ultimate trivia question ever in Daniel Schneeman's life.
I don't know what if I'm in the conversation of anything with Babe Ruth. I'm getting it on a plaque. I'm doing something. You talk about the top for Major League Baseball. It's Babe Ruth. Come on.
We gotta plan a trip out to see Daniel this summer. Okay. We gotta go talk to that guy. Our thanks to today's guests, Kalani Sitake and Lexi Halliday-Lowry. For Jason Shepard, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Corey Snyder. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.